Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone. Thank you all for calling in. Thank you all for visiting in with us on tonight. I'm trying it again this Monday. I'm coming to you by my telephone, doing blog talk, as well as via Facebook. Tonight, we're going to try this again. If you would like to call in, you could call in through the number 312-861-2354. Excuse me for looking off or maybe looking to the side or down, but I don't have a teleprompter in front of me to tell me what to say. And I'm just trying to get this thing underhand because last week when I tried, the video for some reason was so distorted. I'm hoping that's not what's going to happen this week. Fruit, thank you for looking in. I'm on tonight. This is Monday night with Iron Sharpening Iron Ministry through Smile 3E, which is presented to you every Monday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your host, Minister Sylvia Renee Kaiser. I would like to say to you all again, thank you for taking time out to listen to the ministry on tonight. We have a speaker whose her name will be Dr. Serena Wright. She's going to be a little late. She was ran into traffic or some sort, and she's trying to get home where she can call in and minister on tonight. I'm not for sure what the ministry will be, but I thank Craig Collins and my daughter Fruit for calling in. I would like to pray right now. If you have any comments, please put them on forth on the Facebook, and I will make mention of your name, Beverly Seabury from Wisconsin. Let's go into prayer, please. Father God, we come to you right now, Lord. We're asking you to forgive us of every sin, God, sins of omission, sins of commission. God, we ask you to even forgive us of the sins we know that we have done, the sins we are not even sure that we've done, God. We're asking you to forgive us of sin. God, we ask you to come into our lives and to save us, God. We ask you to be our Lord and Savior. We're asking you to just come in and touch our heart, to give us the heart of the people, God, to give us the heart to love people, God, to give us the heart to say, if you hate it, Lord, I hate it. If you love it, Lord, I love it. God, I'm asking you to just touch each and every one of us and allow us not to be scared to be able to tell people that you are Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and that we believe you, trust you, and it's all about you, God. God, I'm asking you to watch over the city of Chicago and any and every other city that's in America, God. Matter of fact, God, we're asking you to just bless the world right now because the world is so caught up in its own mess that don't want to say that we need you. God, I'm asking you to just touch us, then let us know that we are our sister and brother's keeper. God, I'm asking you to just touch us to let everyone know that before it's all said and done, that we will have to bow our knees. We would have to look up and confess that you are, as I said earlier, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God, I'm asking you to touch my family. I'm asking you to touch my sister, Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser, who has been the one that has brought this service up to place, that we will be able to bring the word of God forth because you said that your word will be seen and heard in all the ends of the earth. I'm just asking you, God, to bless Dr. Serena Wright, that she may speak on tonight, and I'm blessing, asking you to bless everyone that has called in, that's viewed in, and just taking a chance on seeing what's going on. God, I don't care if they're looking in to just be nosy, or if they're looking in because of purpose, or if they're looking in because I came up on their page saying I was videoing live. God, I thank you for this right now. Thank you for allowing Kimberly and Shirley Henderson, Beverly Seabury, Terry Fruit, Craig Collins. I thank you for allowing them to look at this, and I thank you, Beverly, for sharing. I thank my family for looking in on this also. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. If I didn't mention anything, blame it on my head and not my heart. But I'm asking God to give his people his heart, his love, and you said you had no respect to person, God, and I believe it is so. Amen. So like I said, on tonight, Dr. Serena Wright will be our speaker. But as of right now, she's not on the phone line. So what I'm going to do once she get on the line and I let you know that she's there, I will put my phone that I hope you all can hear a minister. Hopefully you all will be able to hear it. If you can't, please let me know if you can hear what she's saying. So I'm just going to say right now, I'm looking at her text.
Sister Renee.
She's on blog. She's on blog. So I am going to introduce her to some, present her to most of you all, and let you all know this is a friend of mine. She's about 4'11", so that's about, she always say 5 feet or 5'2", but she's about 4'11". But she stands proud. She stands tall. And when she walks, you see her as a 6'4". Feet woman walking down the street. She walks proudly in her ministry. She walks proudly in the word of God. This is a powerful woman, and I don't mean just doctor because it's a doctor. No, she's a straight-up medical doctor. So when she writes you a prescription, the prescription don't just say take this, take that, but that this woman of God is praying for you before she writes this prescription. She's praying with you. So I present to you all Dr. Serena White. Right, I'm sorry, Dr. Serena Wright from the west side of Chicago. Dr. Wright, are you available?
Yes, I am. I'm here. A woman of God, thank you so much. We just appreciate you all for this platform, and we don't take it lightly. I'm telling you that WWW means that we get access to the whole wide world, and so I thank God for Apostle Alex, Cecilia Kaiser, Minister Brandon, and for you, woman of God, how you all have taken up this assignment with consistency and diligence and perseverance, because that's what the kingdom calls for. And so we just are grateful for this opportunity. We are recognizing that responsibility of the kingdom is weighty, but it's not burdensome, because God said that his burdens were light. But the responsibility of the kingdom is a very weighty thing, meaning what is impactful and it's serious and it's long-lasting. We're talking about eternal redemption and forever change through the word of God. And so we just admonish those that are calling in, those that are being challenged to listen in to this platform. There are many, I'm sure, that have now not vowed to Baal, but this is one where I can guarantee you that you will hear an uncompromised word from those that minister here. There are most of us, maybe not all, but most of us have been trained and poured into by Apostle Sandra Thomas, a general in the kingdom that stands relentlessly against darkness and declares the faithfulness, the grace, the mercy, and the chastisement of our God, because God said that he would chasten us if he loved us. And so God loves us by correcting us, by sharing with us, by being merciful to us, by blessing us, by pouring out to us, by increasing us. And there are some generals that have a sound balance of who God is and are willing to lay their lives down to pour it into you. And so most of us in this platform have been shaped and nurtured and birthed through the vision and the life and the assignment of Apostle Sandra Thomas. And for that, we are grateful. We honor her, and we do give honor where honor is due. A lot of people that don't understand honor will call it a lot of negative words that I choose not to repeat. I just dismiss that. That is unsound and unwise and unfruitful, and continue to give honor and appreciate God for what he has done in us, and then we can just let the fruit speak for itself. And so we feel like this is the fruit of her labor and the fruit of her ministry through Apostle Cecilia, the woman of God, Minister Sylvia, Minister Brandon, Elder Kendall, Pastor Troy, Prophet Antoine, and on it goes. So listen, for you all that may not be familiar with the ministry of Apostle Sandra Thomas, just keep listening. You're going to hear her voice through our voice. On many times you'll hear her speaking and sharing apostolically through this platform from time to time. This is not a bad place to land on a Monday evening. And so we are continuing in what God has given us. We are so excited about the Fountain of Living Waters Church, and we keep giving you opportunities on Mondays to plan a six-day trip to next Sunday, because Pastor Troy will start sharing for the month of May. He is a profound Bible teacher, psalmist, and a prophetic psalmist, in fact. And so you never really know how God's going to use him. Sometimes he'll sit and play at the keyboard or stand at the podium and teach the word, but it's always revelatory, impactful, a release of God's anointing. So we shamelessly plug it and encourage you to get there. If you actually want to experience the presence of the Lord, you have an open invitation at the Fountain of Living Waters Church, and it's just an awesome thing, a sure foundation, and no man can lay another one because God's already laid one in us, and we're going forward and pressing in and doing what God would have us to do. And so tonight we're going to share just what God has given us, and as soon as the Spirit of the Lord is done speaking, then I'm going to be done. If you would just turn with me in your sword, please get a sword. If you have to pull up an electronic one, a paper one, if you have one written in crayon, please keep the word close to you. That's the admonishment of my heart to myself and my heart to you. Keep the word of God close. There is a lot of philosophy, a lot of talking, a lot of people, a lot of ideas that men can come up with. And without the word, there is no way to pair that is untrue with that is true. Hallelujah. There is no way to compare that is untrue to that is true. Keep the word of God close to your heart. Because people of God, things will begin to get worse. And you're saying, well, woman of God, in my city, in my region, in my nation, in my village, amongst my tribe, they're already pretty bad. But things are going to get worse. But the people that bear the truth are going to get better, because God will never be outdone by darkness. He has those that have their ear to his mouth, and we are on the rise. The king is victorious and prevailing. Don't go by what it looks. Keep the word of God close to your heart, and you will see the king's people rising in places where others are desolate and destroyed. Praise God. And so we just thank God for that he had chosen us and given us the opportunity to choose him back in holiness and sanctification and lives that have been poured out before him that he might be made large in us. And so if you will turn with me, hallelujah, I had not had that in my natural mind to say, so I guarantee you, you're getting it hot off the press. But the people of God are on the rise. The kingdom is prevailing. We not only are conquering, but we are more than conquering. Dominion is our portion. Authority is our resource. And God is the one with all authority. And so I'm telling you, if you're listening to us tonight, that is what God wants us to say to you, that we are on the rise. We must have the perspective of the truth that we might be salt to the earth. Praise the name of Jesus. When the earth is being destroyed and social climates are fiery and discussions are high intensity and politics are gone awry and government is crumbling and corruption is overtaking, we must know, those of us that have been poured into with the truth, that the kingdom is prevailing, that God's people are victorious, that we are not only doing well, but we're doing more than well. We're not just conquering, we're more than conquering. We are those that are strengthened, and we are those that are encouraged, and we are those that are prepared, and we are those that are on the cutting edge, radical living, ready to hear God and go. Praise God. And so turn with me. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And so we are sharing this with you because truly, in the midst of what would be ravage, devastation, poverty, low income, it seems to be that the sons of Babylon have now turned against the people. my God in heaven. And there are some that have been waiting for the manifestation of the promise of God and what he has spoken and labored and given and sown and waited and prayed and sacrificed. And God has turned our attention to David in the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel, because to some degree David found himself there. David found himself there. He, if you would recall, back in chapter 15, he was prior to chapter 15, he was yet a little boy. They called him a lad. He was loving God and serving God and tending sheep and pretty much contemporary language, minding his own business, loving God. And he happened to be sent on an assignment from his dad. His dad asked him to run an errand and take his brothers, his older brothers who were soldiers in Israel's army, to take them food and sustenance because they were fighting the Philistines. And from there, right before then, Samuel came and anointed him king, and he accepted the anointing and went right back to being a lad. And then he went on an errand for his father to the region, to the valley of Socah, where the Philistines and the Israel armies were fighting. And then his whole life got turned upside down. He simply walked in on the intimidation of Goliath and asked who he was and identified that he was defying God and said, I'm just going to kill him because he's defying God. And I just pretty much know that's how it goes. You don't get to just say that. You don't get to present like God's not who he is and intimidate his people and ravage the things of God without consequence. And to David, it was all just pretty much common sense. He didn't want any fancy armor. He didn't want any of Saul's machinery or weapons. He said, no, I'm simply going to take him down. And so after that, because Goliath had been such a formidable opponent, David's simplistic faith and understanding of who God was had him to kill a giant, and he became the enemy of Saul. And so there are some of us that have gotten the promise, and seems like all of a sudden everybody's our enemy. And so if you go from chapter 15 to chapter 30, you will see the different discourses of life that David began to take because he simply loved God, was anointed, had a promise, and ran an errand. And there are some of us on the line that are sitting saying, how did I get here? And that is where we found David in chapter 30, because over the course of the chapters between 15 and 30, Saul tried to kill him 11 times. David had only gone to the valley of Socah to run an errand. His father asked him to go. He didn't go to kill Goliath. He went because he needed to bring his brother's lunch. But Goliath was so intimidating to the people, and he knew that the threat of the giant had no substance. And so it was such a simple thing. He had no idea that he was going to become the enemy of the king, and that the king would be relentless in murdering him, because he went from being a shepherd boy, attending sheep, obeying his father, to running for his life, skirting evil and darkness. And so along the way, the Old Testament shows us that sometimes he didn't always make the best decisions. He got afraid at times. He got fearful at times, and he made bad decisions at times. And if you stop in chapter 27, just turn with me. Can you flip back to me to 1 Samuel 27 so that we bring this into context? We're just going to look at the first verse. It says in the Amplified Bible, but David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should escape into the land of the Philistines. And then Saul will despair of seeking me anymore within the borders of Israel, and I'll escape out of his hand. And so Can I tell you in contemporary version that when David starts saying in his heart, I guess he's just going to kill me then. See, after 11 attempts, he's gotten tired. And after 11 attempts, he said, okay, I guess this king thing, I don't know what Samuel was talking about 12 chapters ago, but I don't think I'm going to be the king because Saul has relentlessly decided that he's going to kill me. So, okay, I guess he's just going to kill me. If nothing else I can do it, there's nothing better for my life. He got hopeless and tired and weary and frustrated. Now, this is the one I'm telling you that had a promise from God 12 chapters ago. And there's somebody on the line tonight that you do too. You have a promise from God that came up in the 15th chapter of your life when you were just loving God and worshiping, and you had gotten saved because somebody invited you to church, or you just pulled over one day and went into the church because the light was on, or you were listening to the radio and you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and it was the chapter 15 of your life, and God began to speak to you, and you loved him, and he began to tell you how much he loved you, and you all began a relationship that was fueled by nothing but adoration and praise and your willingness to give him everything you had. And by 12 chapters later, after life began to take its course, and jobs were lost, and houses were foreclosed on, and were bounced, and friends were betrayed you, and husbands left, and wives left you, and got discouraged and started arguing, and after children became rebellious, and bosses were racist, and colleagues were sexist, and as life began to take its course, you find yourself 12 chapters later saying in your own heart, I guess there's nothing better than this. I'm talking about the one that had a promise from God 12 chapters ago. God's only speaking to a few of us tonight, those that you knew you loved God. You weren't playing. I'm not talking about the water cooler conversations about the man upstairs, but you loved him for real. And you went to God only to fellowship with other people that loved him. And you didn't have anything to prove. You didn't need a title. And you just wanted to serve. And because you just thought it would be better to be a keeper than to keep being unsaved and blinded by sin and despair, and you loved God, and you were there in that 15th chapter, and then 12 chapters later, you're hopeless and frustrated and saying, I guess there's nothing better. You're ready to compromise. He said, I guess death shall now perish. And sometimes people have judged you and said, you know, I thought you loved God. I thought you were in the choir. I thought you were on the usher board. I thought you were the pastor. Oh, my goodness, it happens. And we can get just so hopeless and down, and we begin to compromise and say, you know what, I'm just going to go on the enemy's territory. He said, I guess I will just go and escape to the land of the Philistines. Some of us, we've escaped in drug addiction. We have escaped in our addictions. We've escaped in compromising relationships. We've escaped. There was the frustration and the course of life that made it seem like it a good idea, because you would just start saying, repeating the hopelessness and the frustration in your heart. And then 3 chapters later, after you had went on and made the decision to compromise, and you went on and let her move in when you know you shouldn't fornicate, and then 3 chapters later, that territory or that thing you gained the compromise, because people of God, what happened to David in chapter 27 is that when he got desperate and fearful and hopeless, and when he felt like, well, I guess this whole promise thing is not going to work, and maybe God isn't God, and maybe Jesus isn't the only way to being saved. I guess homosexuality is okay. It's because maybe some people are born that way. And so after you began to compromise, Then the Philistine sergeant gave David a land called Ziklag. And so some people will tell you, you know, oh, well, see, God gave you that. And see, at least you've got territory now. But the truth of the matter is, You know you compromised. You know you did that because you were weary and well-doing. Nobody said from chapter 15 to 27 that David wasn't doing well, but he had started saying in his heart that he was tired. And if some of you all here, you're just tired. You're tired of believing, and you're tired of waiting. And this is your husband's eighth girlfriend. You're tired of it. You're tired of believing God that the unsanctified husband is sanctified, but you're tired of it. You said, I guess it's just nothing better than this, and go ahead and do what you do. I can turn the other way. And so, people of God, David got tired, and that's why he compromised, and then compromise yielded him Ziklag. And sometimes we'll act like everybody that compromises hated God. Everybody that compromised never wanted nothing. You know how self-righteousness can be. I know there's probably nobody on the line, but I personally know how cruel self-righteous can speak about other people because of things I've said in self-righteousness. It can be judgmental and harsh, and it can assume that nobody wants anything but it. Hallelujah. And so you see someone that's falling off, and instead of strengthening your brother when you find them at fall, you decide, like somebody might have decided about you, that you never did really believe God, and you really weren't a call to be a pastor, and you really didn't love God, and you really didn't love your husband. That's why you left and walked out on your children. But the truth is, we are commanded to not be weary in well-doing, because weariness and frustration can make you make bad decisions. And so in chapter 27, David had come to that place where he had just begun to mistrust the anointing that Samuel had left on him, and he began to mistrust the God that he killed Goliath in the name of, because Saul was relentless. And some of us maybe don't have a clear enough picture that Satan is relentless. He's told God, I am going to wear them out. And I believe, people of God, I'm telling you what I believe, that he spoke that threat to the God that loves us, because he knows God has a covenant, and God is a covenant keeper. And he knows that if he can wear us out, he can make us never reach the promise, that God is going to keep his covenant and offering. I'm going to say that again. God's going to keep his covenant with us. So the enemy said, the strategy I'll use is that I'll make them stop reaching for it. I'll make them stop believing for it. I'll make them stop seeking for it, because I know you'll never stop offering it. You're the type of God that loves unconditionally. You're the type of God that sees them finished. Because I know your nature, what I'll do is go and play on something I find in them that'll make them give up before it's time, and make them go to chapter 27 and become hopeless and desperate. But I'm telling you, people of God, God's got good news for us, because even though your compromising situation has yielded you a zigzag, if you will follow me to that chapter 30, when David came back to that region, mind you, this is the region he had gotten from the Philistines. And so this is that region he had gotten when he came up with his own plan, because he said, look, Saul's not going to stop trying to kill me, so I guess I'll just die by Saul's hand. I'm just going to compromise. I'm going to go with the Philistines. I'm going to smoke only on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I'll drink only on open tab night, or when drinks are 2 for $5. And see, I'm telling you that there is a yielding from compromise that can be a distraction. And so David's compromising yielded him a whole region, and he had 600 men and 2 wives. And so when we find him in chapter 30, that's where we find him. He has this land, and he's trying his best to carry out the plan he created, because he had just gotten tired and frustrated. But even when he returned to this land, the land was burned. And so people of God, and you would think and say, well, woman of God, please get to the good part, because you're telling me that this is the man that had a promise, and this is the man that believed God all he knew, and he got weary and he compromised. But and we're not going to judge him, because sometimes when life gets to being life, you can get discouraged and fearful, and you can become oppressed and depressed. And when your infirmity continues to last, but when your pain goes from a 4 to a 10, you know what I mean. You know that pain scale they always ask you about, or when your arthritis gets worse, and when your crippling disease becomes paralyzing. See, when life starts to become life, then we can start making those compromising decisions, and it would seem as though we're yielding something. And so you're saying, woman of God, get to the good part, because even what he got in compromise, you're now telling me it burned. And yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you, because what God wants you to know tonight is that he is, in fact, a keeper, and he is letting the ziggurats of our lives burn up. Hallelujah. This is good news, people of God, because God wants to infuse hopefulness back into those of us that are listening. Don't you dare give up on what God told you. Even though zigzag is burned, God wants you to resolve. It was only that was yielded from your compromise. It was what you got when you were tired. It was what you got when you were weary. But the good news tonight is that when you get to the point where your zigzag is burned, you're only 2 chapters away from the manifestation of the promise. That right in the 2nd chapter of Samuel, David became the king. People of God, listen to me. Things have gone from bad to worse, but God told me to tell you tonight, don't you dare get concerned, because zigzag burned, because God didn't want you to settle for that you got through compromise. He doesn't want us to settle. That's why it's good news. God said, return to believing, return to your hopefulness, return to your place of believing. Go back to where I met you, when you were worshiping and praising and believing me and tending sheep, and all you wanted was to please me. And go back to our relationship. Get back in fellowship, because I'm the God that keeps his promise. You're so close to it. Don't settle for your zigzags, people of God. Let me tell you something. The best thing that ever happened to David is when his zigzag burned. It was the product of his own solution. It was the product of a decision he made in weariness. It was the product of a decision he made when he became fearful. It was the product of a decision he made when he believed he couldn't hold on any longer. But let me tell you the good news, that in chapter 30 it was burned. And you're saying, woman of God, you can't be serious. You're telling me that when my live-in boyfriend moved out, that was the best thing that could have happened to me? That's exactly what I'm telling you. And so you're telling me that when the IRS called me and said, I got to pay taxes for those taxes I was fraudulent on, that was the best thing that could have happened to me? That's exactly what I'm telling you. Because God's saying you don't have to do it like that. If you can just hold on for 2 more chapters, hallelujah, if you can just hold on for 2 more chapters, the caption over my 2 Samuel chapter 2 says, David is anointed king. And I'm telling you, that daughter that has given you more headaches than your head can ache, she's coming home in 2 more chapters. That son is selling more drugs than a drug king and a chief in the drug movement, and help Al Capone himself. I'm telling you, he's coming in. You've only got 2 more chapters. Call him and tell him that I know how it looks, but you coming in 2 more chapters. I know you think you're Al Capone, but in 2 more chapters, it's going to be the promise God told me when I birthed you. People of God, it's only your zigzag that's been burned. We've got to have God's perspective on our situation. He said in 27, you got weary and you start giving up, but I'm telling you, by the time you get to chapter 30 and Ziklag gets burned, you're two chapters away from the promise. Hallelujah. Don't do it. Don't throw in the towel. Don't even try to rebuild Ziklag. Listen real good to what God is saying. It was only what you compromising. It was only what was yielded when you were weary. Go ahead and hold your head up. Go ahead and put your shoulders back and say, God is the God that keeps his promise. Hallelujah. That was just verse 1. It says, now when David and his men came home, Ziklag, they found it, that it had been raided by the Amalekites and burned with fire. And it says, and the Amalekites had taken the women and all who were there, both great and small, captive, and they killed no one but carried them off and went on their way. So David and his men came to the town, and it was burned, and their wives were gone. And listen, don't you all see how this story is going from bad to worse? See, in 27 and 28, he had already compromised. And in 29, there was more of Saul chasing him. And in 30, Ziklag was burned. And so what he thought he had, when he had given up and said, God must have lied anyway, and I don't trust that God anyway, I don't trust anybody at the church anyway, things got worse. It wasn't just that Ziklag was burned, but his wives were stolen and his children were gone. His house was gone. All his stuff was gone. They didn't foreclose on your playhouse. They foreclosed on your real house. And then you went to work and got fired, and you had gotten fired on your day off. I'm talking about how when God is telling you, but those are the things you had gotten in compromise. And I want you to know I'm still the God that keeps his promise. Hallelujah. And so what happened is that David said, listen, he said, David and his men, I'm reading now. You all follow with me. I'm in verse 3. It says, David and his men, that the town was burned, their wives were gone, verse 4, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 4. It says, then David and the men lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. People of God, right there in verse 4 is when the Holy Ghost cracks the door on where he's trying to get us. Because, listen, let me tell you something. Things have gone from bad to worse. Nobody wants us to take this made up faith that's actual lunatic denial. No, that did actually happen to you. But God wants you to weep about it until you have no more strength. Hallelujah. I know you say, woman of God, you started on a good track and now you're back to bad news. Because you're telling me you want me to cry? I do. But I just want you to weep the way that David did, hallelujah, in verse 4, until you have no more strength to weep, until you have no more plans and no more booty calls and no more lying on your taxes, because we don't have to do it that way. We can go ahead and tell God about the real disappointment until we have nothing left, until we have no more bright ideas, no more hookups, no more tricks, no more three-card Monty strategies in Jesus' name. We don't have anybody else to lie to. We don't have any more pretentious faces to put on. We don't have anything left. God just wants you to weep until you are all out of your plans, until you're all out. When you just go to him and say, God, I'm out, I'm done. This is what really happened. I got tired in chapter 27, and I started compromising, but I don't even have strength to compromise anymore. He wants that weep that unlocks all those hidden places. When you go to a chapter, when you get to God and you're weeping, and you say, God, what happened in chapter 27 is that I just let her move in because I was tired of being alone, but I don't even have strength to fake it anymore. I'm all out of strength. I don't want you to just do a deep emotional release. But God said, weep like David did until you have no more strength to weep, until you're all out, until you're emptied out, until you're at the end of yourself. You don't have anybody else to call, none of your college friends know anybody that knows anybody that can get you a job. You don't know anybody else's name you can lie and get an apartment in. You don't have any more fake social security. You don't have anything left. You don't. I don't have any God. I don't have it. You do know everything. You are the God that keeps his promise. He said, weep. He said, tell them that this week that I want them to do is until they don't have any more strength to weep. Hallelujah. That's where the Holy Ghost acts on where God is trying to get us. He didn't burn your zigzag to make you more hopeless. He didn't let your Amalekites come in and burn Ziklag because he's mad at you. He didn't let the Amalekites come in and burn up the plan you made when you got tired because he's not going to keep his promise. But the Amalekites came and burned up Ziklag because God wants us to weep. Hallelujah. He doesn't want us to weep and be hopeless victims. He just wants us to weep until we're all out of ourselves. When we admit, God, it wasn't working anyway. God, I knew I was compromising. I knew I had sold out. I knew it. I knew it, but I just got tired. I figured that maybe you weren't going to do what you said. So I made my own plans in chapter 27. But since it's burning up anyway, God, I'm just going to go ahead and weep. I'm just going to go ahead and tell the truth until I don't have any more strength. I don't have any more plans. I don't have any more. I don't know what to do. I don't know, God. I don't know anything but Jesus Christ and that he was crucified. I don't know. Hallelujah. I don't know how chapter 30 is going to end up being the second chapter of 2 Samuel. I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to get to burned up Ziklag to the anointing of kingship. I don't know. But God, right now, all I'm going to do is weep until I have no more strength. No more plans, no more ideas, no more deception, no more lies, no more trickery, no more jealousy, no more rage, no more retaliation. I don't have anything left. Nothing's left in me, God, but a weep. I just want to let you know, God, where I really was in chapter 27. And now I'm even more upset because even what I thought I had, now the Amalekites have come and burned it. But God, people of God, I'm telling you, this is still good news. Because when they got to chapter 4 and weeped until they had no more strength, if you go to verse 6, let me go back. When they got to verse 4, when 1 Samuel chapter 30, when they got to verse 4, when they wept until they had no more strength to weep, when they went 2 verses down to verse 6, that's where David found encouragement and strength. I'm telling you, people of God, this is all good news. God's just trying to get us to where we can get the strength and encouragement we need to get to that second chapter of 2 Samuel. The promise is right around the corner. But if you let the process finish, then you'll be anointed king. If you let the process finish, you can't take the goods you got. You can't take the spoils of your own plan. Those people can't go. Those people, that situation can't go. That mindset can't go. But if you go ahead and tell God, I don't know. I just don't have any strength left to do anything but weep. Then I'm telling you, you're on your way to verse 6, where it says David encouraged and strengthened himself. Oh, my goodness. That's the one they've made songs about, and that's the one preachers have made famous sermons about, that David encouraged himself, and that's the one that sinners will tell you about, and that's the scripture that we'll quote and not believe. But tonight, people of God, God is telling us, let it go down on your inner being, that the strength and encouragement that God is telling us we need is what's going to come after we empty out. Hallelujah. Because my Amplified Bible says, but David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord. Hallelujah. You all, this is where the whole thing turns. I'm telling you, verse 4 is where the Spirit of the Lord cracked the door. He said, first of all, Lord, what you have to do is empty out. See, you were still reaping from the plans you made in weariness and frustration. And then so verse 1, verse 3 in chapter 3, I let your Amplified. Let me tell you something, people of God. Sometimes when we make our own plans, we give room to the enemy. I'm talking New Testament. It said, leave no place for the adversary. But how do you know that in your pride and in your arrogance or in your frustration when we've decided, well, let me talk about myself. When I decided, I guess you're just not going to do it. And so I guess I'm just going to go ahead and do what I'm going to do, God, because the promise you made me is not turning up. And so I guess I'm going to die at the hand of Saul. I'm telling you what I said. I know myself real well. I'll go ahead and talk about myself. And so even when I did it in chapter 27, I was enjoying the compromising of my big leg, I find myself in my chapter 30 and it's all burned up. And only thing God wants me to know is, Serena, if you get down in verse 4 and empty out and tell me what really happened and talk about big leg in truth and empty out until you don't have any strength to do anything but empty out and weep until you don't have strength to do anything but weep, you'll be closer to verse 6 than you've ever been. And in verse 6 is where strength and encouragement comes, but it's in the Lord, his God. And so that's when we get into him and we can move and live and have our being because we're in the Lord and he's our God. So then when we get in that right position, when we're in the Lord and he's our God, then we're in position and relationship. And God, that's where God wants us. He wants us to empty out in our verse 4. And he wants us to get in him and make him our God. Those are the places. Those are the places where we're positioned for the promise. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to look at our burned up zigzags as the best things that ever happened. Because but the time zigzag gets burned, you're right at verse 4. Hallelujah. You're right there ready to empty out and weep until you have no more strength to do anything but weep. And people of God, that's when the next thing you can see David do in the greatest period of his distress was that he got in God and made it personal. He said, God, I'm going to get in you and get a relationship. He said he encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord, but not only positionally, but relationally. He said, in the Lord, his God. Get over in him. That's the place. He said, position yourself in his God. Position yourself in relationship. Position yourself where you were, David. But get back where you were. Return to your first love. Don't get caught up in your own plans. Don't make your own way. But you'll find strength and encouragement, even though Saul's still after you. But you'll find the right strength. You'll find the right encouragement because you'll be in me and I'll be your God. Change your position and make it relational. That's all God wants us to do. He wants us to empty out until we have no more strength, no more plans, no more bright ideas, no longer willing to struggle, no longer wanting our zigzags, grateful that they burned. I know it was a hurtful thing, but go ahead and tell God about it. Say, God, I was going to go ahead and settle for zigzag. Go ahead and weep until you don't have strength to do anything but weep, because then you'll get the strength and encouragement from verse 6, the one where you're positioned in him through relationship. It says, in the Lord, his God. In the Lord, his God. God wants us positioned, but positioned in relationship, positioned in fellowship, that finding that worship place, finding that fulfilling place, returning to our first love. David, get back to that place where I found you. I found you out there tending sheep and worshiping me. Return to that place. Dismiss the hardness. Dismiss the bitterness. Dismiss the weariness. That was chapter 27. But if you get over in position, get in that relationship position, get in me and let me be your God, you'll be right on your way to the second chapter of 2 Samuel. It's only two chapters away, but people of God, let God's voice urge you back into your rightful place. Let God's admonishment tonight usher you back into position. Let God's admonishment tonight usher you back into relationship. Go ahead and let Ziklag burn. He told David in verse 8, you won't get Ziklag back, but everything they stole that was yours, you're going to get it back. You'll get your wife back. You'll get your children back. You go, just go ahead and get in me. The things that you need, I'll give it back. I'm not going to give you back the territory you got compromising, but let me guarantee you, I'm the God that's a good father. It's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants to shower us with his blessings. He's not going to let the enemy ravage us without returning the things that are truly ours. But we've got to go ahead and empty out. Go ahead and let God know I don't have strength for anything but weeping. The only strength I want is the strength that comes when I find myself properly positioned in you in relationship. It's relationship that God is after, and that's where David found himself. That's where the pivot was. That's what turned the key. That when David found himself in his God in relationship, that's when it began to turn. He went back to loving God the way he used to. He asked the priest for the ephod. He went back to asking permission and worshiping the Father. And that's when God told him, if you go after them, this is what I'm telling you. If you go after them, you're going to get back everything that was truly yours. You never see he recovered Ziklag. Hear me real good. He didn't recover Ziklag, but he got his wife and his sons back. People of God, if the Amalekites burned it, call it your Ziklag. It's what God will allow to get you through verse 4 and verse 6. So he can tell you, I'm still a promise-keeping God. I'm going to let you get back those things that were truly yours, and we'll finish the process in the next two chapters. You're right at the cusp of the promise. Don't be distracted that Ziklag is burning. Don't be distracted by your friends that have turned on you. Don't be distracted by it. Go ahead and weep. Go ahead and empty out. Go ahead and get in your rightful place. Go ahead and get back to where God is your God, where it's personal and it's relationship. He's going to start talking to you in your verse 8. He's going to start telling you what to do. He told him, pursue. He's going to start telling you exactly what to do and exactly what you're going to get back. You're going to be strengthened and encouraged like never before if you go ahead and let Ziklag burn. Hallelujah. Go ahead and let it burn. It was filled with compromise and weariness anyway, but God is faithful. He is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. He said it because he's going to make it good. Get back in your rightful place. Get back to where you're in the Lord. Get back to where he's your God. And he's going to start talking to you in your verse 8. He's going to give you specific instructions. He's going to tell you exactly what you're going to get and how you're going to get it. He didn't tell David to pursue, and I'll tell you later. He said, when you go after it, you're going to get it all back. But see, that's a different spoil. That's the promise of God, not the Ziklag of compromise. People of God, this is all the news, because this is God calling us back to him. This is God's call tonight. Get back where you're in the Lord. Get back to where he's your God, and he's going to start speaking to you in your verse. Eight. Recovery is yours. The promise is 2 chapters away. Oh, God is talking to us right now. Recovery is yours, and the promise is 2 chapters away. Get back in him. Get back in the Lord. Get back in him until he's your God, and let the promise manifest. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We glorify you and magnify you. Woman of God, Minister Kaiser, it's back to you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Dr. Wright, I'm so blessed with your word on tonight. Earlier when I was praying, I was asking God to give us back the heart to love what he loves and hate what he hates. I thank you for your word on tonight. Again, I tried it live with Facebook, just trying to see if I could get some people to tune in. I thank the people that tuned in, family members, God brothers and sisters from the streets. They was listening in. I thank you for just not being ashamed, not being scared, but just being bold, as always, to bring God's word raw and straightforward. I put the blog talk number down, so if they didn't call in, if they want to hit us on the Facebook, I'll tell you what they're saying. But at this time, I'm asking Minister Brandon to take the mute off the phone so that the people that are listening in could just say things to encourage Dr. Wright on tonight, because I tell you that word was awesome, it was powerful, and it was touching, because I know it touched my heart, that I have a chance to get back to God, because that is my right. The lines are open. Please speak up to the woman and to the life of the woman of God to encourage her on what she talked about tonight.
Hey, man, this is Cecilia. Oh, while everybody's waiting to say something, I just want to say thank you so much, Dr. Wright, for reminding us to get back to God. And it's such a rhema word. Apostle Stephen Gardner from Chicago was here in the DMV area at a prayer revival that I attended this weekend. And what really blessed me was that he was talking about getting back to God in prayer and getting back to God and travail, and it's just, like I said, such a rhema word, talking about getting back to God and reminding us of the need to not only get back to him, but get back to him to the point of getting enough of ourselves, you know, just getting to the point of where it's not about what we want, well, not about what we think, but truly getting back to God's agenda, God's motive, God's destiny, God's purpose. I just thank you so much for that confirmation from this weekend's prayer revival.
Thank you, Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser, for those words of encouragement. Is there anyone else who would like to speak into the woman of God's life to just say to her how much you enjoyed her word?
Good evening, everyone. This is Sheila. Speak quickly before I be interrupted. Again, I'm at work, but I'm truly and delightfully listening to this word, and I just wanted to let the people know, I hope you listen to what she was saying and how she was saying it. You have your promise, and you have your life, but the thing is, you can't give it up on God. You can't give up on God. The devil will play with you and this and this. It ain't going to happen tomorrow. It ain't going to happen right now. You don't have to compromise. You just wait on his blessing. And when he do give it to you, when that promise is yours, I don't think you're going to ever stop being a shouting or praising his name. All I got to say is, Dr. Serena, I thank you for this word, and I hope everyone listens to it and believes. Don't compromise. Wait. Don't let the devil confuse you. so you will never get to your promise that's already yours. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Kaiser, Sheila Kaiser. Dr. Wright, I just want to say you blessed me on tonight. Is there anyone else that would like to say something to the woman of God? Well, Dr. Wright, like I said, I've videoed this on Facebook Live because I'd be on Facebook Live a lot and I'd be saying and doing things on Facebook. And I just prayed and God touched my heart and said, you put everything on Facebook, but how about putting this Monday night service on Facebook? So I just want to say the people that listen in that I had on my page that are friends and colleagues of mine, they enjoyed it. They said thank you so very much that they were blessed. So I just want to say again, woman of God, you bless me on tonight. Oh, my God, you bless me on tonight. Is there anyone else that wants to and ready to speak into the woman of God's life?
Hi, this is Mel. I just want to say, as always, that the word that Dr. Wright brought forth was rich, always an on-time word, and I definitely receive it. I will not give up. I will not get weary. And she spoke on Sunday, and she touched on this subject, so I just want to say I appreciate it, and I love it, and I will not give up, and I will not forfeit my promise because I'm just two more chapters away. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Melva Thomas. Thank you so much. Is there anyone else that would like to speak into this woman of God's life? She had poured into us so much on tonight. Please don't miss this opportunity to give back. Okay, well, people, we want to say thank you again for joining in tonight, tuning in, watching us on Facebook. Yes, yes. I'm sorry, Pastor Troy. Go ahead.
I just want to say I enjoy the word. I enjoy the knowledge of what's going on, that in chapter 15, you were told what your destiny was going to be. And then 15 chapters later, you know, you've been through everything you thought you could go through. But if you just hold on just a little while longer, trust me, everything will be just what God said it's going to be. You're just two chapters away. You say, be not weary in your well-doing. For in due season, if you faint not, you shall reap a recompense of reward. So I thank Dr. Wright for that word. It is definitely encouraging. Consider what's going on in the world today. And even what's going on in our individual lives, the devil's trying to make us give up and give in, not taking heed to the word of what God has said concerning us, our lives, and our purpose. So that's a great word of encouragement, a great word of testimony, and I thank God for that. Continue to pray for us.
Thank you, Pastor Troy Servant Thomas. Thank you so much for your words of encouragement. Is there anyone else? Please just come on and pour into this woman of God's life. Okay, this is the first Monday of the month of May, and we're starting off with getting back to God to know that it was already prophesied early in the chapters, in the 15th chapter, where we was going. And like Pastor Troy said, not of all we've been through, we still know that we're only two chapters away. We all went all the way to chapter 30. So just please join in next Monday night, where our guest speaker will be Servant Troy Thomas. We are with you every Monday night from 8 p.m. to Central Standard Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We would like to say, don't forget to call in on Fridays. to hear Elder Kathy Kendall speak on God Still Heal at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can listen to Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser and Minister Brandon Kaiser talking about Let's Talk. I just want to say to the people that are listening in, Dr. Serena Wright always says, this is an international ministry heard worldwide. So don't just think you're just listening to something that's across town on the west side of Chicago. No, you're listening and communicating with people and hearing from people all over the world. So I'm just asking you all to just keep us in your prayers, pray for this ministry, because it won't be long. It won't be long. You're going to say, I remember when they first started. But I thank God for that. Dr. Wright, would you like to pray us out before we end this segment?
I just thank you.
Excuse me, Dr. Wright, before you pray, can you share the announcement about Apostles' conference that's coming up, or I can share it?
Yeah, you can, Apostle.
Okay, so everyone get out your calendar. Take a moment and get your ink pen and your paper if you don't have your calendar, and think of this great title, Women of Fire Conference, Possessing Your Promise, November 10th and 12th, and Apostle Sandra Thomas is going to be one of the speakers there, so please place it on your calendar, and we can get back with you with any specifics about when she's going to be speaking, but don't forget, November 10th and 12th, and it's going to 10th through 12th, it's going to be in Naperville, Illinois. So mark it on your calendars. And don't forget to register also.
Is there a registration fee, Apostle-elect?
Yes, ma'am. If you get your initial deposit in before the, it was supposed to be before the 31st of March, but that would have been for $40 that was due. But the balance due for everything is September 30th, and the conference package is only $169 per person based on double occupancy. And this is one of the attention things that they have on here. Due to the sensitive and mature nature of the topics discussed, this conference is only for women 18 years of age and up. So go on Apostle Thomas's page, and a matter of fact, I'll share it right now so that you can see it if you go out there on Facebook.
Okay, thank you.
And
so
maybe
much.
Some other conferences, I'm sure that Dorit or Pastor Troy may know about.
Thank you so much.
Apostle-elect. I will be mindful of that November date and look for that on Facebook. Social media is such a wonderful way of communicating intranationally and internationally. So we know that you are in, you know, a different part of North America than us, but Facebook can connect us all. And so we're looking forward to that. I guarantee you, whatever the November date is, you should just go ahead and cross the whole day off in a Sharpie so you make sure you don't forget it, because it's going to be phenomenal. We know for sure that anybody that will put together a conference and call for a woman of the caliber of Apostle Thomas, that that's going to be an amazing event. And so we'll continue to keep that in mind and announce it moving forward. And so is there anything else, or I cannot pray? Are we done?
Yes.
God, we are just so grateful for what you are admonishing. You have us always so in mind. And so we just thank God for the people that are listening tonight, that you had tailor-made a message just for us, that we would recognize that the zigzags are only those things that have been burned that were products of our own plans, but that your promise is still waiting for us in just a short two chapters. And so we're grateful now. Our hands are up. Our hearts are yielded. We have no strength left, no plan but to worship you and to serve you. We're finding ourselves after tonight positioned like never before in the Lord, and you are now a refreshing place in relationship because we have you as our God. We thank you now for relationships made sure for us through redemption and salvation. Any of those that are listening that are not saved, we just know that they will come in, that they would come in to know you, find themselves quickly positioned and ready for a relationship, that you alone would be glorified in their life. We thank you for it, God, right now and forever in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank everybody again for calling in and listening. Thank you all for being a part of this ministry. Look forward to sharing with you next Monday. Don't forget the scripture that we live by, Matthew 6:33. For seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Thank you again, and we'll be blessed. We want you to be blessed, and we want this ministry to be blessed. In Jesus' name it is so. Amen. Good night.